road to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Dave Festini.
And I'm Dave Schneier.
And you are listening to Record Store Dave's. We are going to find out what happened when Dave Festini and Dave Schneier decide to go out into the world on Record Store Day and live their dream and conquer the world. I don't know what else to say.
That's a good way of putting it.
Thank you.
Live their dream? Well, I guess there's a little bit of that.
I guess so. I don't know. Okay, first of all, when was the last time you two guys saw each other at that hour of the morning and went and waited in line for anything, if ever?
Never.
Dave Festini.
Well, together?
Yeah.
Dave and I together? Dave, have you and I ever gotten up that early to wait on a line for something? I don't think so.
I don't think so. It would only have been in college, most likely. And I can't think of anything I would get up for at 4:30 in the morning at college to wait in line for.
I mean, housing, but you wouldn't have had to because we came and lived with you.
Yeah,
and then had the apartment.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we ever did. I mean, we waited on lines for things.
Sure.
Concerts and such.
Yeah. All right.
But never that early. See, I don't know when. See, my brother and I were.
Early in the show to bring Ed into the conversation.
Yeah.
But well,
we were crazy Black Friday people.
Okay.
So he and I would get up at ungodly hours of the morning and go wait outside a Best Buy. So it's not unfamiliar territory for me.
Okay.
I've done it with concert tickets. Like when you had to go and like the record store or like around here, it was like Macy's or something like that. There you would wait outside. So I've done concert tickets.
I slept in the back of a station wagon for David Lee Roth tickets.
Did you?
Yeah. That's never worth it.
Wow.
Well, it was extreme. It was David Lee Roth, Cinderella, and extreme. So.
Oh, well.
Okay. I saw that same show at Tinley Park in Illinois, and it was $20 a carload to get in.
Wow.
Because they were not selling tickets at all.
Oh.
So that's when you know it's rough.
That hurts.
And of course, in college, yes, I waited for tickets. I waited for U2 tickets and, you know, all kinds of things like that. It's never fun. It wasn't fun in college. No. I can't imagine it would be fun for a couple of 50-year-olds.
It was.
Well, there's a certain amount, there's an enjoyment to it. The problem is it in being old, it brings on an entirely different level of dedication because now you have to worry about going to the bathroom.
Oh, yes.
Now some people think the world is what it ain't. To some I'm a sinner, to others a saint. Some folks say the world ain't what it is. All I know.
It is the real physicalness of it too, right? It's just no? Okay.
Eh.
And you guys took chairs?
Yes, we had the, you know, standard soccer chair thing that we used to use when we went to see Matt play soccer.
And at any time when you were sitting in these chairs, did either one of you drift off a little bit?
No, I did not.
I don't think so. No. I mean, I put my head back, but we couldn't
because the guy behind us.
Oh, boy.
Was a chatty Cathy in the worst possible way.
All right. Let's back up a little bit before we get to chatty Cathy. First of all, who drove? Who picked who up? Where did you meet?
Dave drove all the way up from DC the day before. And I was working from home on Friday. So he basically hung out with me while I worked.
Okay.
And then what did we do? I don't even remember. Did we get pizzas?
We got pizza on Friday.
Carbo load.
And then we sat out on the patio and drank.
So barmaid, bring a pitcher, another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk and screw? Why don't we get drunk and screw? I just bought a water bed, it's filled up for me and you. They say you are a snuff queen, honey, I don't think that's true. So why don't we get drunk and screw?
Pick it, Coral Reapers, here we go.
With your wife as well.
Yes, Nancy was with us.
Nancy was there.
Because she figured she'd hang out with us because she's not stupid enough to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Not at all. Not at all. I don't even know what time we went to sleep. I'm not sure what time we went to sleep.
I mean, it wasn't crazy early. I think we turned in around maybe 11, 10, 11 o'clock, maybe earlier than that. Maybe it was more like 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, at any time did Nancy say, "You guys aren't really doing this, are you? This is ridiculous. Why would you do this?"
No, she knows I'm nuts. She's sat on Record Store Day lines with me before, but not nearly that early.
Wow, that is quite a wife you got there.
Isn't that?
Yes.
And I was desperate because she was taking my mom to a doctor's appointment. Julia had something that she had to do. Matt had some. So my locals were out. Dave saved me that day.
Import Dave.
If not for Dave Schneier, would you have done this yourself?
My worry was going there, getting in line, and then having to leave the line to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
It's really all about that, Pat.
It's all about basically that.
It is. It's all about.
I'm right with you. I am right with you.
It's the worst in the morning.
So, Dave Schneier, what time do we leave the Festini residence?
4:31 a.m. Because Dave had trouble closing the door at 4:30 in the morning.
Okay.
4:31, off into the car we went.
Yeah, I was impressed. We set a time. We were going to get up at 4, do what we had to do, and get out by 4:30, and we were gone. We were on the road.
I think I actually woke up a little earlier than 4 and sort of just like laid there for a little bit and was like, God, we're really doing this.
Did you shower beforehand? Just
no.
Wash the face?
No, 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 no.
No. A brush teeth.
Completely unnecessary. Do you think anybody on that line is showered?
No.
Or have they ever?
There were people who slept there from the night before.
It's true.
Come on.
For a plastic disc, okay. These night before people.
Exactly.
Okay. So when you get there, what's the first stop, Dave Festini?
We went to a place in Dover, New Jersey called Factory Records.
Okay.
Which I guess they've been there now for about somewhere between five and 10 years. Massive place. I mean, when they say factory, it is indeed a factory. And they have a huge selection. They sell used audio equipment too. And they have different specials where like, there used to be, I don't know if they still do it or not, but it was, the hell did they call it? Something Monday, where they have a whole, just boxes and boxes of dollar records, and you got to sit there and
wow,
there's lots of crap. But is every it, once in a while, you'll find something good in there.
Is it big like the McKay's place that we went, or is it bigger than that?
No, well, and I mean, McKay's is massive because they're not, this place is just selling record or records. Just selling music, records, yeah. Cassettes. They have some videotapes, but not a lot. So they were, there was a strategy. Can okay. we go into the strategy?
Yes, please.
Because this was a very long, there was a lot of talk about this the night before. So we knew Billy Squire was going to be in Princeton. The day before, Dave was kind enough to, after some abuse from me, was kind yeah. enough to get on the phone and call a couple of locations that we had planned to go to see if they got in what we were looking for, right?
Okay, what were you looking for?
I was looking for the Locusts album, which is Rick Springfield's side project with the Bissonette Brothers.
Take up my guitar and sing on Revolution Day. We rise up to kill the king. Come Revolution Day. We'll gather in the square, dismantle the machine. Kick and scream and drag them all to the guillotine. We'll celebrate and watch them swing on Revolution Day. We'll storm the walls, yeah, we'll
and of course the Billy Squire Tell the Truth release. Both were record store day exclusive, and I think the Locusts is like 800 copies, 500 maybe, mm-hmm. 800, something like that. And Billy Squire, I think, was 800-900 copies. So this is the whole country.
This is the whole country. Just in case people don't know what Record Store Day is,
yeah,
it's once or twice a year. Labels release exclusive titles. They're limited edition. If you don't get it that day, it's going to turn up on eBay for hundreds of dollars. You don't want to wait.
No.
And Billy Squire, Tell the Truth. I don't even know. Was that ever available on vinyl? I don't think.
No, it was never released on vinyl. In fact, I think the label on the front said like the Billy Squire album you've never heard, or the best Billy yeah. Squire album you've never heard, or whatever. There's a whole story behind that too. But
produced by Mike Chapman, who worked with Blondie and the Knack and many Scandal, many people.
Yeah, it's a great, I mean, it is really, really, really good. I mean, I loved it when it came out, and he tells a story about how it's actually written on the liner notes inside about how whoever was running Capitol Records at the time, it had gone through, because a lot of those record labels went through huge changes in the mm-hmm. in the 90s, and that whoever was running the label at the time told him that it was the best album that they had that year, but he wasn't going to promote it at all. He was going to make sure that nobody ever heard it.
Thank you.
Because of the sea, because of the sea change in the industry and whatever. So and he was basically, he says that's the reason why he stopped recording, that he just got so frustrated and turned off with the industry that he stopped making albums. So anyway, those were my two. Dave had some targets of his own. Plus, we were looking for you. We were looking for the Marshall Crenshaw album.
That's right. Now, let's go to Dave Schneier. What were you looking for, Dave?
So, there were three-ish that I was looking for. The top one was a guy named Tommy Keane, who's big in power pop. A lot of great stuff in the 80s into the 90s. They were re-releasing the original version of an album he produced for Dolphin Records, or he worked with on for Dolphin Records out of North Carolina. And then he was snatched up by Geffen Records, and Geffen listened to it, and they were like, yeah, let's go do something different. And so they shelved it.
Okay.
And he still released an album called Songs from the Film, but it was just totally different. Different producer, different everything. So I really wanted that. And then John Wesley Harding, who's like a British rock folk singer, his debut album called Here Comes the Groom was being re-released on red vinyl.
Sometimes when you get misty, well, I have to leave the room. Another accident statistic. While the big bass drum goes boom, there's an apocalypse now on Station Road. If there's a nuclear winter, at least it'll snow. Your talk turns all of the upside down. You turned up my ticket at the lost and found, and all I got was the current clown. Won by Kathy's new, Kathy's new.
It's a double album, and it included some extra tracks. He does an acoustic version of what is it, the Madonna song Like a Prayer, and a couple other things as well. There's some live versions of things. So those are the main ones. Sugar was releasing not a box set necessarily, but I think it was three album release of their second album, first album File Under Easy Listening. So, but that was ridiculously expensive, and I thought I really would like to save some money for gas on the way home, and probably shouldn't spend money on that one.
And then you were also looking for me, you were looking for the bootleg sounds of Marshall Crenshaw, 1984 to 87, because in my area of the country, I called around to some local record stores and no one was participating.
That's surprising.
That's wild to me.
Because, and so the day after Record Store Day, I had the day off. So I drove to Greensboro and went to two record stores, and the one record store who didn't participate there, The record store that did participate had like four titles left of things I never even heard of. So that was a bust. And the other record store said they never know exactly what they're going to get. And then the stuff they get never sells. And then they're stuck with it. And they have to pay for it up front. Yep. They said it's just not worth it to us anymore. So I think the whole way Record Store Day is run might have to change a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's what really went into the strategy that I was talking about, because, and plus different stores are weird about telling you what they may or may not have, right? So we're calling the day before. So they have the stuff, they have their stuff in stock. So the day before they know what they get, what they got, and what they didn't get.
And some posted on social media, some of their social media, some of the Instagram feeds, they'll flip through the record so you could see.
Okay.
But everybody I called basically was like, oh, we're not, we can't really tell you.
Right. And so no one, we're not getting a definitive answer really from anyone.
What do they think? You're going to like break in and rob them the night before?
I mean, I don't know if the strategy is we want you to come out because if we don't have what you were looking for, you might buy something else. I honestly don't know.
This would be my strategy if I was the record store. Call me up. Let's reenact it. Dave Schneier. I'm going to
ring, 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 ring.
Hello, Rock Solid Records. Can I help you?
Hey, Rock Solid. Yeah, listen, tomorrow's Record Store Day. I know you know that. I'm just curious. Do you have a couple? I'm checking on a couple of the titles, like the Locust album.
Oh, we got it. Yep, we got a bunch of them.
Great, great.
Anything else you're looking for?
No, that's good. That's it. Thank you.
All right, yeah, bunch of them. You're not going to be disappointed. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good.
All right.
Click, click.
And you know what? That's going to get people out. And then the people get there. And now you come to the counter and say, hey, I called last night. You said you had the Locusts. And I go, yeah, those are the first things that went.
Well, yeah, but that's the fear, right? What does it harm the record store if they had said yes? So when we called Factory Records, I don't think they said no necessarily, but they said, oh, here's what they said. Factory said, we basically got everything except for four albums. Like everything else that was being released on Record Store Day, they at least had one copy. And I'm like, okay, the likelihood they have the Locusts is, you know, here.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
But I don't know. They're relatively new. Listen, Princeton Record Exchange has been around forever. I used to go there with my dad when I was a kid. It's a well-known store. That's, you know, that is known around the country. I thought for sure that if anybody's getting anything, Princeton Record Exchange is going to get it.
Yeah.
So we called Princeton Record Exchange and they flat out told us that they did not get the Locusts album in, which I was shocked that they didn't.
Okay.
Because so that 800 copies on the East Coast, unless you're going into New York City, this is one of the top record stores on the East Coast.
Wow.
So that threw our whole plan into a tizzy because we wanted to go to Princeton to see Billy Squire, you know, but now one of the things at the top of my list isn't there. Yeah. So Factory all but told us that they had at least one of them.
Yeah.
So, and they opened early. So help me with this, Dave. Their deal with the Billy Squire thing, or no, I'm sorry. Factory Records at 6 o'clock was going to start handing out numbers.
They went down the line at 6 o'clock.
All right.
Smart, right?
Right.
Go down the line. Here's your number. 8 o'clock in the morning, come back and we'll call 1 through 10. You go through the line, right? 11 through 20 all the way, right? Turns out that was brilliant. It was so well organized.
They really ran they ran a tight ship at Factory. They knew what they were doing because we basically got our number, and then Dave and I went, got something to eat.
Yep.
Got some coffee, whatever. Got some food, whatever. Took our time and then went back, used the bathroom at the Manhattan Bagel, of course, which is a big thing. And then went back. Went in the store, shopped around. Plus, it's great for them because now they have a bunch of people hanging around the store shopping for records.
From 6 o'clock, they not only giving you numbers out, they are open now. The main store is open. So go ahead and shop for other stuff.
Oh, that's great. Then you're not outside on the street like a hobo.
Right, exactly. I ended up buying two albums from the regular section. So. See?
Now, let me ask you this, because I've been to things that run smoothly and the people have it locked in and everything's good. And then there's always someone that still complains. There's always a guy like, this is fucking bullshit. Why are they doing it like this? Was everyone cool?
I didn't hear anybody complaining at Factory.
No.
There really wasn't a lot to complain about. I mean, right at 8 o'clock, they started lining people up. They had the Record Store Day stuff in a different section. They went through 10 people at a time, and everything was, when you got to the record store, because by the, you know, what did we get called in there around 8:45, Dave? Was that?
Yeah. Dave Schneier, what was your numbers? What did you guys have?
86 and 87.
Okay. That's pretty good. Or were you like, that's pretty far back.
We ran into a guy at the bagel store, who also had a number. I saw he was holding a number when Dave went to the bathroom. So I started talking to the guy and I was like, hey, what number do you have? And he had 50.
Nerd talk. You guys are nerds.
Mm-hmm. I said, what time did you get to the store to get 50? And he said 3:30 in the morning. So even at 3:30 in the morning, he's 50th.
Right.
50.
So had we gotten there an hour earlier, we would have moved up about 35 spots in line.
And who knows if you would have gotten the Locust album then.
Yeah.
Nerd talk. You guys are nerds.
Because even if they only have one copy of it, I mean, and one guy ahead of you wants it, you're done. You're done.
I mean, the great part, though, is that when you got in there, all the albums were in a separate section. Mm-hmm. They were all in alphabetical order. They all had tabs.
Nerd talk. You guys are nerds.
Yep. So you know, like, if you were there to get one thing, you could basically just go in, go to your one thing, get it, and get the hell out of there.
Yeah. They even were saying they would, like, if you're done and you're standing still behind six more people, they're like, wave me down and we'll move you to the front and get you checked out. If you found what you want, we'll get you out of there. And not only just like the tabs of not like A, B, C, the artists.
The actual artists.
The absolute artists, right? You could flip through and go, okay, well, there's the Tommy Keane one, right? Like, not just K, but you're looking at the actual name. So nice. Well done.
Nerd talk. You guys are nerds.
Yeah, I was first day was after me. So I was going through when I got to the Foreigner thing, which I knew it was on sale, but
hadn't
planned.
What is this Foreigner? Explain what this is.
It is a collection. It's not one whole show, but it is a concert from like 80. They are live tracks from the 81, from the Foreigner 4 tour.
Okay.
I believe it is the same. I haven't checked because I dropped $50 on it. I don't think I want to know.
Oh, it could be the songs that are on the box set?
I think it's the songs that are on.
Oh, boy.
But it's double vinyl and it's in a nice package. And
is it
was
colored vinyl?
No.
Okay. Could you do me a favor? Could you bring Nancy into the room? I need to tell her what you did.
Nope.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So wait, before we continue,
Okay.
Tell me, name this. Let's give a shout out to this great record store, because the way they ran it would make you definitely want to go back there next year. Like, if you're going back out, you're like, we got to go to this place. We know they know how to do it. So tell me what it's called and where it is.
It is Factory Records in Dover, New Jersey.
And how far away is that from where you live?
It was taking about 4:30 in the morning. It took about 15 minutes.
15-minute drive.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And then I just looked Dover up under the most dangerous cities in New Jersey, and that is, it's up there, top seven. So, okay.
Is that right? Okay. Well, not at 4:30 in the morning with a bunch of music geeks sitting outside. Okay.
All right. You guys were easy marks, I'm telling you. So, at this store, Dave Schneier, tell me what you got. Did you get everything you wanted, or just the Tommy Keane? What did you get?
No, I actually just got the John Wesley Harding one.
Oh.
They clearly had the Tommy Keane there, but somebody came through and bought it. And my guess is they also bought whoever bought the Tommy Keane probably bought the Locust album if it was available.
Yeah,
I think so.
And was Marshall Crenshaw at that place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Marshall Crenshaw was there, so we got that.
And how many copies of Marshall did they have in stock?
That was the last one.
That was the last one.
Wow.
And okay. I grabbed the last Foreigner album, too. That was the last one that they had there.
The funny thing was...
They only got one Foreigner in, Dave. Come on, don't tell me it was the last one.
I grabbed the John Wesley Harding one, and then we sort of pivot in line, and you could see, because it's a U-shape almost, and you see where the RST... And right at the front there, there's Billy Squier. And I was like, dude, just reach across, Dave. Just because there are like six people ahead of us. And I was like,
And then you're like, what if these people, what if that's what they came for?
Right, exactly.
It's just looking at you. It's staring at you.
It was so painful to watch.
It is painful. I know this feeling.
What was painful is when I get up and I get to the Locusts tab and there's no records in there. So they absolutely had it. I don't know how many copies they had, but however many copies they had were gone by the time I got there. So.
And the only guarantee to get what you want is if you're the first person. That's the only guarantee.
Yeah, that's it.
Assuming that the store got the record.
Right.
You know? So we went around and we got to the Billy Squier and there were only two. It would have been so much worse. Had I known that there were only two of them there when we got on that line and it's right there, like, because I got burnt one year, the year that the Foo Fighters did the whole Bee Gees thing where they put out Bee Gees songs. I was at Princeton Record Exchange and I saw the last copy of that thing get bought.
And then it became a question of if those two had been snatched up, you know, do we run to the car as fast as we can and drive to Princeton and stand in line there?
Yeah, what do you do?
Knowing that Squier is going to be there, you know, doing a meet and greet and autographs.
Right.
You got to figure they got more copies.
They've got to have a ton of copies there.
Well, you would think they do, but there's only 800 to go around. In the whole country.
You would think the guy who recorded the album, they'd at least have 100 of them there.
No, man. I think maybe 900. The Billy Squier's limited too.
Oh, was that? Okay. I didn't realize it was that limited. Okay.
So our plan was to hit, because Factory was open so early.
So wait, let me ask you. Let me back up. Okay. Let me back up a bit. So you get up there. You pick up the Billy Squier. Do you look at both of them? You make sure that it's not bent. You want to get the best looking one.
Absolutely. Oh, right. Get the one that the animals breathed on.
And then is there a limit? Like, could you buy both of those if you wanted to?
No, you can only buy one.
Only one.
Mm-hmm.
And Schneier, you're not interested in the Billy Squier, even though you think you're going to go see him.
Correct. I was not willing to drop money on the album. It was not, I had other goals, right? Mm-hmm. I had other, you know, I got the John Wesley Harding, the Tommy Keane one. I was still considering the Sugar. There were other ones that maybe, there was a couple jazz albums that I had seen on the list that I'd written mm-hmm. down that maybe I would get when we go to Princeton, but which led me to go, I'm not going to spend money on this. It's okay.
Okay. So Dave Schneider, did you have a budget that you were in your head? You're like, I'm not going to spend more than this much money.
No, not really. I mean, in my head, I know I shouldn't spend more than X, but whatever that number was at 4:30 in the morning when you're going there, even at like what, 8:45 when you're making that first purchase, you're like, okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, right. And how much was Tommy Keane?
Tommy Keane was like 32, probably somewhere around there, 30, 35, somewhere around there. All right. And John Wesley Harding was probably 35 to 40, probably.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. You have no idea going in how much anything costs.
No.
And the prices vary by store.
So if this store wanted to put a $60 price tag on that Locust album, they could have.
I believe they can. And I was always under the impression in the past that the Record Store Day people weren't allowed to mark them up.
Yeah.
I think that may not be a thing anymore.
Oh, I don't think that's a thing at all. There's no way.
Because I know for a fact that some places have charged more. Because I've gone to one place and then another in previous years, and I've seen the same thing in two stores.
I could swear we saw something when we finally saw some albums in Princeton that were different priced. I'm pretty sure.
It's definitely possible.
Dave Festini, what's the number in your head? You're going to allow yourself to spend how much today?
Well, you know, I knew I was targeting two things, and I expected those two things to be somewhere in the $30 to $40 range. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed, you know, I have a little envelope. I think we've talked about the slush fund in the past. Mm-hmm. I grabbed a $100 bill out of the envelope. So that was in my pocket.
Oh, take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party if they're betting in the back. I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I'll be late. I want to ease it. Ease the money. I could get lucky.
All right, cash is king.
Yes, although where is it? It's now at Factory. Is it Factory where they didn't take? Somebody doesn't take cash. No, I think it's Princeton. Princeton doesn't take cash. You got to pay with the card. Wow.
Okay.
And how much was the Billy Squire?
Billy Squire and Foreigner, I believe, were both $50.
Wow.
Yeah.
$49.99, or was it straight up $50?
It might have been straight up $50.
Wow.
I think. But right. I know that, I mean, here's the thing with Record Store Day, it can bite you in the ass because when they say it's an exclusive, I mean, although the Billy Squire wasn't colored vinyl, but
that's a bummer too, because the album cover is brightly colored blue and yellow. That vinyl, one vinyl should have been yellow. One should have been blue.
Yeah. I mean, in a couple of years, that thing could get, you know, somebody else gets the rights to it and reissues it. And, you know, so there's always that, anything that's supposed to be exclusive to the day, that exclusivity could disappear. And then you drop $50 on something and you could buy 6 months later for 30.
Exactly.
Dave Schneider, do you feel like there's some eBay people that are in line? Like they don't really care. They just want to get stuff and immediately 100%. Resell it.
100%. I think they go in looking for the things that, like the Locust album, because they've pressed fewest, the fewer the pressed, the more they're going to snatch those to try mm-hmm. to. They may go in saying, because I think what's her name, Taylor Swift released Elizabeth Taylor just the single on vinyl, And Factory had a gajillion of those. In fact, what they said was, hey, we're going to put those at the front counter so you don't even have to go through line. If you're simply here for that, just go to the front counter, which, again, really smart.
Elizabeth Taylor, do you think it's forever that view? Portofino was on my mind when you called me at the Plaza Atenea. Ooh, oftentimes it doesn't feel so glamorous to be me. All the right guys promised they'd stay under bright lights. They withered away, but you blew. Portofino was on my mind. I think you know why. And if your letters ever said goodbye, I.
So you could go in for that probably knowing you're going to get that and keep it, right? Because it's not as easy to go then and resell it on eBay at a higher price. But boy, if you grab one that there's only 800 copies in the nation,
that's
you're going to do
world.
It.
In the world.
Yeah. In the world.
Yeah, and no one's – who's playing a single? I'm not putting a single on
– I'm not
Yeah, that's strictly a collectible thing.
Come on.
Like,
yeah, put that in a frame, hang it up. All right, so what do we do next?
The plan was to hit Factory for the records that we wanted to buy and actually get our hands on.
Okay. Yeah.
And then because Princeton, the doors or the Record Store Day booth or tent or whatever you want to call it, it's basically in a garage that's next to Princeton Record Exchange. That didn't open until 11. And what they had said was at Princeton at 8 o'clock, they were going to go down their line and ask people who wanted to be in on the Billy Squire meet and greet. And if you did, you got a wristband, and that was how they were going to handle that whole thing. So Dave and I figure Princeton doesn't open up till 11. We'll hit the road. We got out of Factory at like 9:15.
Okay.
Yep.
It's going to take us an hour to get to Princeton. We'll get there around 10:15, 10:30. We'll get online and cross our fingers. If we get there in time to get ourselves a wristband, great. If not, the plan was just to hang around the entrance to Princeton Record Exchange and hit Billy Squire up for his signature on his way into the store.
Okay. Exactly.
This
exactly.
is a good idea. Now, have you guys peed yet? Have you had to pee?
Yes. No, we peed at the first. We peed when we got bagels. After we got our numbers at Factory, got a bagel sandwich, cup of coffee, peed there.
Well, and
coffee,
also
that might have a cup of coffee might trigger a number two.
Well, it may have.
It did later. It did later.
All right. Now, in the video you made, Dave Festini, you had pee bags or something. What were they called?
Urine bags.
Yes, my niece's husband, who works for PSE&G, which is a utility company here in New Jersey.
Okay.
He works out on the road all day long.
Okay.
So they have, well, you can get them on Amazon. They're called urine bags. So basically, they almost look like a thing of microwave popcorn. You take off the wrap, you open it up, and it's a bag with a little spout on it. And the inside, I believe, is made of like whatever a diaper is made out of.
So right.
If you pee into the bag, it is absorbed into the walls of this bag. And when you're done your business, you seal it up. It's got like a Ziploc top on it. You seal it up, you throw it away.
All right, but you can't just whip your stuff out anywhere.
No, but listen, Dave rented a car for this trip, and nowhere it said don't eat, don't smoke. It said no pets. Said
no pet hair. No urinating. Pet. You want to urinate in the car? You go right ahead. You
go ahead. Have at it. All right. Okay.
We did not have to resort to the urine bags.
No, we did not.
Good, good, good. But you had them just in case.
Just in case.
Yes. All right. So
be prepared. That's my motto.
Record. And you only hit two record stores, correct?
Yes.
Listen, I have wonderful memories of the Princeton Record Exchange. Okay. Yep. I've been there a billion times. I've spent hours scouring through the dollar boxes. Wonderful memories. That place was a shit show on record store.
It really was.
They
were so unorganized. It was unbelievable.
And this is the place where, this is the one place in the whole world where Billy Squire will be.
Yes.
And it's a shit show.
Dave drops me off because he's going to go find a place to park the car. I go to the end of the line, short, which is really far away. And there's a guy, much to my joy and happiness, there's a guy at the end of the line with a bunch of wristbands.
I'm going to have to walk around the block if I want to get in a wristband, my man. You got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. Wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. I can't explain it, I don't know why my heart beats like a fist. When I meet some dude with an attitude saying,
hey, you can't do that on this.
And the man was lost.
And he says, are you interested in going to the Billy Squire meet and greet? I said, as a matter of fact, I am. I was like, my friend's coming too. He rips off two wristbands. He hands them to me. We got there in time to make the Billy Joel meet and greet. Nope. So I am excited.
Billy Squire.
Sorry, what did I say? Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. No, Billy Joel. And he was not there. Line.
And how many people were getting wristbands?
When we got, we were 146 and 147, Dave.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
And they were capping it at what, 200?
They didn't.
I don't know if they did, but I think I read that he saw at least 200 people that day.
That's nice.
Okay. So I was ecstatic that we got there in time to get.
What a great start. Bands. We're like, you know what? This is a great start. The weather was, by the way, Pat, weather's perfect.
Yes, it was.
Sunny and like 70 something. Like, it's perfect.
Perfect for peeing in a bag.
Perfect for peeing in a bag, standing in a line and waiting to talk to Billy Squire. You're thinking, we're off to a good start. We got a couple vinyl that we liked at the first place.
Yep.
Here we are in line at the second place. And then all of a sudden, we don't move. And
it's when I say
we don't move, like, we don't move.
It's 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30.
And now it's like quarter of 12. Three feet, maybe. Seriously.
Do you have your chairs at this time? Do you still have your
chairs?
No, we did not own the chairs.
Why not?
I thought the line would move a little quicker.
Well, because we figured it's, you know, once 11 o'clock rolls around, the store's going to open and the line's going to move.
Okay.
So there's a couple behind us. And Dave and I, it's quarter of 12. And it's just like, you know what? This is ridiculous. We have our wristbands. We can leave because they told us if you want to leave and come back at 1:30, there's going to be another line for the meet and greet.
Yep. Separate line for the meet and
greet. And we figure that by it's quarter of 12, anything that we're going to get, the locusts, if they even got it, is gone.
It's gone. It's gone.
Right. The stuff that we're there to get is likely gone.
Yep.
We need to eat before the Billy Squire thing starts.
Yeah.
So we said, screw it. And we left the line and we went to a nice place that I can't remember what the hell the name of it was.
No idea.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
The Admiral something. Was it Admiral?
No, it was like a place where you, Jesus.
Doesn't matter.
I forget. But we sat down. We both got lunch. The service wasn't exactly quick.
No.
Boy, that didn't matter because this record store isn't moving.
You know, all we knew was we had to be back there by 1:30. So I don't know what time we finished lunch, but we were certainly back.
We took an hour, let's say. Let's say we even took an hour.
Yeah, we were back ready to get on the Billy Squire. Well, actually, no. We went back to the record store day line and got on it.
Yep.
And it's still not moving. It's still like a dead snail.
What's the problem?
Well, as we would come to find later, they are once again letting, you know, very few people in at a time because the space is small. And they didn't put any dividers in.
No.
They basically just had eight boxes with all the records. Thankfully, they were at least in alphabetical order. But just eight boxes of records. And people are having to go in and flip through everything.
Oh, my God.
To find what they're looking for.
And when Dave says a garage, Don't think of it as some roomy thing where you could park two cars. Mm-mm. You basically could fit about four or five people in there to look for records. Wow. So now you've got people going in there, flipping through a little bit at a time. Oh, I'm going to take my time doing that. I'm going to the next one, take my time doing that.
Browsing. They're browsing.
They're browsing. They're not, yeah.
No concern for their fellow record shoppers in line.
No.
No. Why would they be?
Wow.
They got in.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, eventually 1:30 rolled around and we broke away from that line because now we're looking to get on the Billy Squire line.
Yes.
So we go
like, at this point, we're like, forget the records. Let's just get in line for Squire.
Where do they have him? Is he in a tent?
No. He's not there.
He's not there yet. He's not even there yet.
1:30 rolls around, and they're basically sticking the Billy Squire people in an area, and they're saying that they're going to take everyone by number, which is fine by me. I mean, little did I know how long it was going to take, but I figured that was an orderly way to do it.
Sure.
Which again,
fair because
number
if you got
wise.
There,
yep. Number wise, it worked at Factory Records for Record Store Day. It's got to work here, right?
We're going to
call 1 through 10. Here's one of the issues. One of the issues is Princeton only had one person working outside. Now they're working both lines.
Ugh.
So they're like, and they don't have a bullhorn or anything. So they're like, okay, you guys go ahead on in and pick some records out. Okay. The first, and they're like Ghostbusters. You're not supposed to cross the lines, but they did. And like, so now there's mass confusion. This guy is working by himself. Meanwhile, once we got into the store, eventually you could see there's like 10 people working inside.
Hold on. You're skipping way too far. So
I know.
We get into this makeshift Billy Squire area. And now that line isn't moving. They're like, we're going to take one, you know, whatever it was, 0 through 20. And they line those people up. And so Dave and I get in the back because we weren't sure if they were ahead.
Let me know. Is there excitement for Bill? Are the people excited to meet Billy Squire? I mean, he doesn't do this.
Yes.
He doesn't tour. He doesn't record anymore. He's kind of a recluse, just living on his money that he's earned. So for him to come out and even do this.
Yes.
It's a pretty big deal.
There was a lot of chatter, a lot of excitement. There was one woman who was there who had seen him at some point. Got his autograph on her, like arm or something like that. Mm-hmm. Eventually got it tattooed.
Tattooed, all right.
And now she wants to get the other arm done. Lots of excitement, including people who are like, oh my God, I heard that Billy, like, he got a flat tire in the Lincoln Tunnel. I'm not sure if he's going
to
make it.
The rumors start to surface. Because
I hate the people that think they have inside info and they don't.
Everybody knows
because
him.
Right, because now he's late. Now 1:30 comes, 2 o'clock when the whole thing was supposed to start, rolls around, and word is no Billy. And, you know, he got a flat tire in the Lincoln Tunnel. Oh, he's right around the corner. He'll be here soon. Like, nobody knows where the hell Billy is. And they've already brought, like, the first 10 or 20 people into the store, and they've lined up the next group of people. There's one person there. Listen, I've got plenty of stuff signed. You've got plenty of stuff signed. Someone's there with a poster that has already been signed by Billy Squire. What, 20, 30 years ago?
Come on.
They're going to have him sign it again.
Why?
Again.
I don't know.
I've never heard of.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a concert poster and it had the ticket stub. So here's the only thing I'm thinking, right? It's framed. I don't know if it's framed. Whatever. sign them maybe the ticket stub, but then you can't see what's on the tickets. Like, it's so
stupid. Or get
stupid.
An album, I mean, or do you just buy something else?
If you're that big of a fan, you have to have other things of Squire's aside from this poster that has already been signed. You should get picked to the back of the line for stupidity like that.
To quote a Billy Squire album title, enough is enough.
There you go.
I mean, there's always wacky people that are doing wacky shit.
Yeah.
In these meet and greet sign lines.
Oh, they certainly were.
So now I have a show, you know, the band Mother Cover.
Yeah, you've been up since 4 a.m.
Been up since 4 a.m.
And you're gonna go all day and then do a live show.
At 8, we go on at 8:30 at night, right? Now it's
what time is it right now?
It's around 2 at this point. We have an hour commute without traffic to get back to the house. So I'm of the mind that I'm starting to think, okay, this has gone all gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
And what's my drop dead out where if we don't leave, I'm going to be late for this show.
Because also I don't have a deadline. It's not about me at this point.
You got nothing going.
If I meet Billy Squire, great. That's great.
Yeah.
Right? Super. Yeah. I also don't have to sing later that night. So all I have to do is drive this guy to get to his show on time. Mm-hmm. So it's not up to me. And I was like, I will do whatever. You are the one who, if you say, Dave Festini, we got to go, then we go. If you say we're staying until the bitter end here, that's what we'll do.
So to paint a picture right now, we don't have the Locusts yet. We don't have Tommy Keene yet.
No.
Don't even know if we're ever going to see those or get those at this point. And now we're just strictly waiting to say hello to Billy Squire and get a signature on this Truth album.
The fact is, we're 146 and 147. Now, 20 people have basically gone to the store and like, whatever. Like now it's 21 through 30 or something. There's no... There's no semblance of like order at all with this line. No. None. So we just stood in line as if we had 50. And so when he would call 49 through 60 or whatever, go ahead, you go ahead of us. No, we're number 140. Go right ahead. So in some ways we're those jerks who stand in line like to get on an airplane. No, I'm not group two. I'm group four, but I'm just going to stand here.
So if they're not going to go by number, you know, we got someplace. I got someplace I got to be. If you're not going to honor the number thing, then I'm going to get up front and you can let me in.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever. But if they're honoring the number thing, awesome. I will honor the number thing. It's around 2. No Billy. And I look over.
Now, what time was he supposed to? What was he advertised? What time was he advertised?
O'clock. It was supposed to start at
2 o'clock.
Okay.
So 2 o'clock, no Billy. I look over. And the couple that was behind us when we arrived there and got online for Record Store Day has just reached the front of the Record Store Day line.
At 2 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
At 2 o'clock. I could not believe my eyes.
Stunned.
It took them that. I mean, what? We got there. Dave, when did we get there?
10:30.
I got online.
10:30 to 2 o'clock.
That's just how to get slow an album, that record
just to get a chance of getting an album that they might want. A chance.
So
that's rough.
2 o'clock, 2:30. Right. So in my mind, I'm thinking we gotta be on the road by 6. There's no way we're gonna be here until 6 o'clock. 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Oh my God.
3 o'clock.
Just tick tock.
At this point, the Record Store Day line is actually really short. So, and we're doing the number thing with the wristband. So if we figured, screw it, we'll just get on the Record Store Day line.
But he's not there yet still.
No, I'm sorry. He's there.
What time did he get there? What did he get there around?
2:30?
He really wasn't even all that late.
No. And I also love that people are like, well, we didn't see him come in the store. You don't think the store has a back door for people?
Yeah, he's not coming right in. He's not going to walk right by you, idiots.
God, you people are idiots.
Well,
I haven't seen him yet.
We get on the record store.
He's not here. I don't think he's here.
And when we get into the little record store day garage and we go through, and sure enough, no locusts. The woman said, again, we didn't get any of them, which I still can't believe.
Do they have any copies of Squire there?
They actually had they did have extra copies, which makes total sense.
Yes.
But they had a number of the Billy Squire albums if you needed them to get signed. Dave, what did you find in print? You've actually found something in Princeton, didn't you?
I got the Tommy Keane album.
Yeah. So they actually had the Tommy Keane album.
That's amazing.
I was stunned they had it.
I mean, this just goes to show no one wanted that.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah, no one wanted that thing.
So no locusts for me. Dave gets his Tommy Keane, which I was happy about because he's going through all this crazy crap to meet Billy Squire for me. And so at least it's worth it for him to make the trip down there.
Dave Schneier, when you're leafing through and you see it, you get I love that feeling. You get so excited.
I was really excited.
You're like, oh my God, it's here.
I saw this guy in concert years and years ago in a small place. I love there's not a lot of I own probably five or six of his albums. I love his stuff. And to have this one re-released in its original format, it was produced by T-Bone Burnett and Don Dixon.
Wow.
I mean, it was like, and this was on the heels of Dixon recording REM stuff. Like, this was really just, it was like a cool find, even though you were hoping it was there. It's almost like, you know, when you're crate digging anyway, and you find something, you're like, holy crap, I'm so excited. That was the feeling about it.
Yes.
By the way, let me just go back, just timestamp wise. At one point, we're standing in line. Now we're back in Squire's line, and Dave has to go to the bathroom. So,
well, he's got a piss bag.
Well, no, we didn't bring him with us. They were in the car still. So he's going to go to the library, which is what, two blocks away, probably.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah, it's close. So he goes, and at 3:49, they call 3:49 p.m. They call 1:20. Now, again, we're 170 something, I think, or 140 something. What are we, 140?
146, 147.
146, 140. So at 3:49, they call 1:20. So I text him. I'm like, he's not back yet. I'm like, oh, they just called 1:20, as if they were going to really speed this thing up. And he comes strolling back, and they still haven't even come close to calling 1:30.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you texting
me for? I'm looking at the text right now. At 3:49, he texts me, just called 1:20. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm rushing back to get there. 3:30 goes by, 4 o'clock, 4:30.
Unbelievable.
And I guess around what time? Around 4:30, 4:45, we finally are making our way into the store.
Which feels promising.
But the line snakes a little bit in the store.
Yes. Once they call your number, that doesn't mean they're ushering you right to Billy Squire.
No.
That just means you're a little closer. You're not outside anymore.
We weren't even in the store for a while. Took a while to actually get into the store.
I'm telling you, the line simply isn't moving, and it defies explanation you're just running it through your head, like, what's happening? Because they came not long after he arrived, they came out and they went, Billy's only signing one thing today, guys. He's only signing one thing, which would indicate to the people in line, they're moving it along, right?
But again, this is a rumor. Billy's only
signing. That was announced by a Princeton person.
Whatever.
Okay. So Dave Festini, what do you have to get signed by Billy Squire?
I brought with me, I had to bring Don't Say No.
Living confusion times, my world is a vice. Nobody gets out alive, but you can break through the ice and don't say no. My wounds are the open kind, I bleed every day. I pray for a change of mind. You can take me away. Don't say no. Don't say no. Don't say no. Don't say no. Take on the system, play on the wrong side.
I brought Don't Say No, and I brought Here and Now. And I had the album that I had bought that morning at Factory.
Okay.
So I really wanted to get that signed, but I really wanted Don't Say No, because that's the Desert Island, you know, that's the one.
And then Dave Schneier, do you have anything to get signed from Billy Squire?
No, I have Dave's purchase from Record Store Day. Because if
he's got
really
Mike tell the truth.
If they're really saying only one album.
Yeah, then you can
have anything. And the nice thing is, we're both named Dave.
Right, we have the same name. Right.
When I waited in line, when Rick Springfield came out with his album Karma.
I've been good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Anytime I stop to smell the roses, they drew blood from me.
He was doing a signing at Warehouse Records in Beverly Hills, and I went there and I took some vinyl to get signed, and there was a young girl in front of me and she didn't have anything to get signed, and I think they were only signing one thing or whatever, same type of deal. So I gave it to her and I said, can you get this signed for me? And if he asked what your name is, just say Pat. And I said, because my name's Pat. And she goes, oh, okay. And then he said, he wrote, on that album, he wrote Pat Love Rick Springfield, because he thought he was signing it for a lady.
That's nice.
So there you go. Okay. So when is the chatty guy? Where's he at?
Oh, that was way back in Factory. That was in Factory in the morning. That guy, you're sitting there and it's dark and it's cold.
And nobody's talking, Pat. Nobody's right, really
you're just,
talking
you're just
to each kinda other.
Kind of chilling there, waiting, you know, hoping that you don't pee your pants. And this guy shows up like he's shot out of a fucking cannon, man. He's just yapping to his buddy. I know I sound like
about
a dick.
Everything. About everything.
Wrestling. they talked about wrestling forever,
for at least 40 minutes, I'd say. So here's what I know. Like, WrestleMania was coming up that weekend. I think it was that. So he has to tell us what his friend and everybody else in line his predictions. Well, I think this guy's gonna, his finishing maneuver is much better than this guy. Nobody cares. Nobody cares in this line.
Are you guys leaning into each other like every 10 minutes and saying, shut the fuck up?
Yes.
Yes. I want this guy the fuck up.
We are.
Yes.
And then he has to talk about AI. Oh, let me tell you how horrible AI is. Okay, great. Great.
He's an expert on everything, too. These guys are
100%.
That's who he is. He's an expert on everything.
Is that while when we drive all the way to Princeton, we get online, and like 20 minutes after we've been standing there, Dave goes, he's here.
Oh, no.
What? He's like, the yappy guy. He's, you know,
it's like 10 people behind us.
Oh, and I look up and sure enough, I mean, he must have been there for the Billy Squire signature, I would think.
I would hope.
But
he must have got that second copy. You got the first one. He got the second one.
Well, I mean, he was right after us. So maybe
he was.
Maybe he did. How long until you finally get to Billy?
Well, we're on that line in the store, and it's warm in the store.
That's so warm.
And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, oh my God, and now it's 5 o'clock. And I'm like, this is bad. Like, we are rapidly approaching that time, that right. dead time that I never thought we would hit.
Because we're also not rapidly approaching Billy Squire.
No, it's unthinkable the amount of time that they are allowing people to spend with him.
That's it. It's worse because now we're inside Pat and we can see how long they're allowing people, like their best fucking friends, and they haven't talked with each other in 20 years. Oh, let me have a cup of coffee with you and we'll sit here and knit together. Oh my God, let me take forever.
But he's being gracious then.
Of course he is.
And he's probably really enjoying it. And I don't want to take that from the guy. I mean, the other thing is that it was billed as a meet and greet, right? It wasn't billed as a signing. Right. If it's a signing, I think people expect, hey, how you doing? Thanks for listening. Appreciate you coming out. Here's my signature. Beat it.
Because at Amoeba Records one year, it was Father's Day. We went to, there was an Ozzy Osbourne signing. And you would buy your thing when you got in. And then if it was a CD, they'd say, take the booklet out. And then they would take them up to Ozzy. And when you got up there, he just kind of like slid it to you.
Yeah.
Like you didn't say hi, no picture, nothing. It was just like, there you go. So that's a signing. This is a meet and greet.
Yes. So it's billed as a meet and greet, which should have been billed as a signing. Or if you're doing a meet and greet, you have to limit the amount of people that you allow. Otherwise,
100%. It's going to
take forever. So finally, the line starts to move a little because there were a couple of people who actually, you know, respected other people's time and went up and they said, hey, they spoke to him a little bit and they took a picture and they got their signature and they left. So I don't know, Dave, how close was it to six by the time we finally
really
got
really close?
Yeah.
It was really close to
close 6 o'clock. Enough that like I didn't even think that those situations for me are always weird. I don't, and I've said this to Dave that day, I would almost feel more comfortable if by some weird act of faith, I ended up sitting next to Billy Squire on an airplane. Then you feel like you can talk to that person as if they're just another person, you know? Right. Like,
I think close enough too, because didn't you also call Nancy from the record store to say, hey, I need you to start packing things up into the car?
I had to ask Nancy to pack the car and charge some stuff up for me because I wasn't going to have time to do it.
Now, let me tell you right now. I'm looking on eBay right now as we speak. you can get a copy for $75 or best offer. Okay? That's the cheapest, $75. Okay. The most someone is charging is $199. And none of these are signed.
I've seen them. I saw one signed for $250.
All right. Yeah. But of these, none of them are signed.
Wow.
And let me click it. I'm going to see if I'm going to look at sold items now. Let me see.
Yeah.
Here, one sold for $48. That's reasonable. $47.99, $48, $74, $85. All right.
Okay.
48's reasonable. None of these are signed though. So
hell yeah, 48's reasonable. I spent 50.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Keep going. So you're seeing them, you're moving slowly. Nancy's packing the car for the gig.
So we finally get up to him and I truly don't know I have no idea what to say to the man.
What do you mean you don't have any idea what to say? You've enjoyed his music your entire life.
But I feel like that it's corny.
Don't Say No is your favorite album of all time. If that's not true, you can tell them that.
It's an incredibly awkward. All the times that I have met Rick Springfield to have him sign things, they have almost always been awkward to me. Because it's just a strange, it's just very odd. I don't know. And now I have the added pressure of knowing that I have to get the hell out of there.
You should have told him, I have a gig tonight. I know you don't.
I thought about it. I thought about that.
You don't tour anymore, but
we definitely joked about that.
I thought about having that being icebreaker and be like, I actually have to get to a gig, Billy.
Who made you feel less awkward, Billy Squire or Rick Springfield?
It's not Billy who made me feel awkward, because he was a beautiful man. He was gracious and nice, and like I truly believe I think someone like that who's had his experience in the industry and who has kind of given up on recording, and I think when he did, it was very similar to the vibe that I got off of Rick Springfield when he came back in those Karma years, where he goes out and he's like, holy shit, there's people out here who really still love my music and want to see me and are still interested in what I'm doing artistically. So they had said one thing, but I was like, fucking, if I'm not getting everything in my bag signed, you're going to have to tear it out of my cold, dead hands.
Which, by the way, they weren't going to stop him.
No, there was nothing. There's no one there going,
he's no one.
Okay, Billy doesn't want to know that you named your third child,
Dave Schneier. He doesn't even have a handler next to him.
No, there was probably his manager. His wife was there too.
His
manager maybe.
There was some sort of management presence.
There was the thing that drove me nuts. Not only were the people who were taking forever to talk to him, but then afterwards, they didn't leave right away. So there's this huge congestion right there too. And you don't know who's in line. Is this person in line? And again, there's only one person from Princeton Record Exchange working at the front of the line. They should have two people. Here's a one. Look, I work in the event industry. I always weirdly put my event hat on when things like this happen.
Dave's whipping out his event dick.
You have one person working the line inside. You have somebody standing at the table going, okay, let's move on.
Nobody. So I went and I think I gave him, I may have given him Here and Now first. I don't remember. Or maybe I gave him, I gave him, Dave had to tell the truth. So I don't remember which one I gave him first, but he was saying that, like, I think he said to me, oh, this is the first Here and Now that I've gotten today. Which was surprising because I'm 146.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't remember that album being readily available on vinyl at the time. It seemed like it was a hard one to get even back then.
It was not the easiest album to find. I think I bought it on Discogs, but I have seen it in stores since then.
That's so a good one to get signed.
Yeah, he signed that. I don't remember what color. Was that a silver? I don't know. He said that I had a blue because I did the Pat Francis.
You recommend blue. Yeah. It doesn't fade.
You'd recommend blue. So I made sure I had blue Sharpies. I had blue and black. The plan was to go blue on Don't Say No and black on Here and Now. But he said that he'd been using his own colors. Who the hell am I to tell Billy he can't sign with whatever the hell he wants to sign with?
Right.
So he signed the Here and Now with silver. He signed the Don't Say No with blue. And I took a picture with him. And I said, thanks very much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. And went on my way.
That sounds perfect. That's not what you said. It was perfect.
He did it.
Yeah.
Did.
I mean, I had nothing where I was going to sit there and be like, I'm trying to think of questions in my mind. Like Dave was like, ask him what his favorite song is on To Tell the Truth. And like trying to come up with small talk. But, what did happen was after I left the line, his wife was standing right there. And I don't know if you remember that song that he put out a couple of years ago called Harder on a Woman, I think, or Harder for a Woman. There's a woman
hearing that song was hard on women.
mother's got a problem. What she gonna do? They took away her freedoms. Can't believe it's true. Black man at the courthouse says we're coming after you. He forgets what it's like. Looks ain't gonna save you. The only girl so far. Meet me on the corner and step into my car. Ain't no room for honesty when everyone's a star. Better run for your life. Come to me, my darling. Take me by the hand. We can walk together. We will make our stand. It's harder on a woman than it is on a man. Try to love you, baby, best as I can.
There's a photo on the album art, and I realized when we saw her that day that it's her.
Oh, cool.
And what's weird is, like, I don't know what to say to Billy Squire, but I have no problem talking up his wife for some reason. I'm clearly sick.
Creep.
So maybe. So I approached her and I was like, excuse me. I'm like, you're on the album art for Harder on a Woman. And she's like, yeah, she smiled and she said, yeah, you know, that's me. I was like, yeah, you know, I saw you outside. And I put that whole thing together. I'm like, this is great. You know, I really appreciate it. And she's like, you know, I'm taking video for, you know, so Billy doesn't really have the time to spend with people. You know, if you wanted to record something and then maybe we might later put it up on an Instagram. Oh. I was like, sure. So she, you know, put the phone up and I just, you know, I said a few things about how it was, you know, Billy's one of my heroes from when I was, you know, musical heroes when I was a kid. And it was so great to see him today. And I always appreciated how he really did his own thing and didn't necessarily bow down to record companies. And, you know, you really appreciate him taking time out with his fans today. And that's I went on my, you know, I actually felt like she wanted to continue the conversation. But again, like, I had to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. So it's so funny because we're done signing. We're done meeting him.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's book it to the car. And here's Dave. I made a beeline to the door and Dave, I turn around. And Dave's like,
he's holding her hand. He's telling her, oh, our first child was conceived to my kind of lover. I mean, he's getting into it.
He's now one of those people we were hating.
That's not true.
Okay.
I've had many times there where all of a sudden I think in my head, oh no, now I'm doing it. I'm acting like there's people.
No, actually, she had pulled Dave aside. Dave was off the line a ways away. So it wasn't like, out of line already.
I wasn't interfering with the line at all.
Not at all.
Dave Schneier, did you get, what did you say to him?
I just said, I really appreciate being here. Something like, I appreciate you being here today. I know there's lots of people you coming out today. Love your music.
In the dark for the first time 2 months ago.
I swore that I would buy it if I saw it, and then I didn't.
I have no idea who you are, sir. And I said, would you sign, you know, my album, and could you put to Dave? And he's like, how about if I just sign my name here? And I was like, and there was like a weird pause of like,
yeah.
You want me to make this call?
Well, he was like, I've been sunk because Dave had to tell the truth. There's like an empty spot under the eye or whatever. He's I've been signing it here. I heard him. He was like, I've been signing it here today. And it's like, dude, you're Billy Squire. You can sign it whatever you want.
Sign
it with your left hand for all I care.
Well, I took a picture with him as well. So,
all right, nice. And now, and when you took a picture with him, do you lean in? You put your arm around him? What do you do?
Yeah, it's sort of arm around ish.
I did not touch the man.
I've seen some pictures. He doesn't really smile. I don't know if he's even looking at the camera.
It's a shame, right? Because his face is not indicative of how he was acting that day. He really was happy and pleased to be there and be doing it. And you look at those pictures and it looks like he wants to be anywhere but where he is.
Yeah, it looks like you ran into him in a coffee shop and he doesn't want to be bothered. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's not really engaged in the photo session.
I mean, I love this, by the way.
I don't know if you could see this. You can't. We're sort of like, it was right before the picture should have been taken. So I'm weirdly looking one direction. He's looking another as if to say like, like it just a bit awkward.
All right, real quick, I want to tell you my meeting story with Billy Squire. I don't even remember what year this is. It was the last time he did a real big tour, and he came through L.A., but he didn't play L.A. proper. He played down in Anaheim, which I thought was really weird. I'm like, why isn't he playing in Los Angeles? There's so many places. But he played at the, I forget what the place is called in Anaheim. But and the concert wife and I went. She's a huge fan. She actually has a this eye. She has that eye from Tell the Truth album tattooed on her.
Wow.
Yeah. So so we go. We love the show. I brought Emotions in Motion. I forget what she had to sign. And they have a really this metal fence. It's one of those fences that you can move around parking lots and stuff. Yeah, and it's really far away from the back of the venue, but we can see the buses are there, but the venue's quite a ways away from where this fence is, but you can't get any closer than that. And it's me and her and four people that are hammered. They're hammered. And they're like, we're trying to get away from them. They're so fucking smashed. When's he coming out? Fucking A, you know, and just like, I love Billy Squire. And then they're sitting on the ground and they're just, and then finally they left. Thank God. They just left. But we're still waiting because the buses are there. And then we see this one guy and he's walking towards us from the venue and he's walking, walking, walking. And he comes up to us and he goes, are you guys waiting for Billy? And we said, yeah. He goes, okay, hang tight. And then he walks the whole way. Like it, in my head, it's like half a mile away. And he goes, and we look at each other like, is he going to get Billy Squire?
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, we've waited this long. We've dealt with the drunks. Let's see what happens. And then we see two figures come out of the venue. And as it gets closer, we're like, holy fuck, that's Billy Squire.
Wow. And then
he came over and chatted with us for the longest time.
Wow.
Just the two of us. Suzanne shows him her tattoo. He gives her a hug. I don't remember us taking pictures, though. I don't have a picture with him. I was so excited to get my Emotions in Motion signed in a black marker, which has started to fade. Asking him all kinds of questions. I say, you look fantastic. What do you do to stay in shape? He goes, you know what? I've always eaten right. And he goes, really? What? I garden. That's pretty much what I do. I gardening every day. I love to garden.
Yeah, he did look good. He looked, for whatever his age is, looked really good.
75, I think.
He's 75 years old?
I think so.
He is. In May, on the 12th of May, he'll be 76. Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. But he was the nicest guy. And I think we were the ones that broke that conversation. You know, we were just like, thank you so much for coming. Oh, thanks for waiting this long. It was just like a big thank you fest. But
it almost, wonderful. When he was signing the stuff for me, it was almost like he expected me to talk him up more.
Yeah.
And there was an awkwardness to the fact that I was kind of moving along. Like, I got the feeling that he wanted me to say more. And between me just being feeling awkward and knowing that I had to get back home.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it went well. I'm also looking on eBay on April 19th, a signed copy of Tell the Truth sold for $325.
Wow.
Crap.
So there you go. There you go.
That's insane.
All right. So all in all, a successful record store day except for Locust. Did you eventually get one?
Here it is.
He's holding it up. He's holding it up.
So Dave and I are online forever at Princeton Record Exchange, and I'm going through, I go on eBay, and there's a guy, I think, what was he selling it for, Dave? $80, I think.
80, or, yeah, 80, 85, maybe 90 or something.
And it's record store day, and you got that, you know, I don't know how to describe it, that just feeling of that you've failed in getting the thing that you want. And it's just like, and then through your mind, you're thinking, hey, screw it. You were going to spend 50 anyway. What's $30?
Right. And again, like, this is the guy. This is a record that you described.
Yeah. But this is a record you've never even heard before. It could suck. No.
Okay. I've heard one track and it was decent.
Okay.
But, you know, there's also the completist in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Rick Springfield project. So there's an underlying feeling of you must get this, but I wasn't crazy enough to drop 80.
Okay, good.
So I'm talking to Dave, and Dave's like, oh, you know, you can make an offer. He's got it. So you can make an offer. So I'm like, all right, I'll offer him $50. That's what I was going to pay for it. Anyway, I think, I don't know what the thing was going for in the store, 'cause I never saw it in the store.
Yeah.
But I offer the guy $50. Within a couple of minutes, he has counter offered with like 75.
Yep.
No, right.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So I think I counter offered with 60, and then he counter his offers with 72. And then I think I finally, my last counter offer was 65, which he did not respond to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing there. And I don't know, maybe it was the next day. I was later that Joe Reynolds sends me a text with an eBay posting where the thing is like $26.
Yeah.
Someone's selling it for $26 and like $5 shipping. I'm like, oh shit. Because I'm joking with Dave. I'm like, you know what could sour this day is if this guy comes back to me and accepts my crazy $65 bid.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it was the next day because my offer had expired.
Good.
So I was able to place the eBay thing for $26 and it was like $5 shipping or whatever. So I ended up getting the thing for like $32, and Record Store Day is now officially a success.
All right. Now, the only gripe I have with Record Store Day is I feel like these vinyl albums that we're paying $40, $50 for should come with a digital download card. How do you feel about that?
I think all of them should.
I do too.
Yeah, regardless of Record Store Day, I think that all vinyl should come with a digital download.
Agreed.
One of the nice things about Amazon is that for some of them, they do that auto. I think it's called auto rip.
If
you buy the vinyl from Amazon, you get a digital download of it.
Yeah, but it'd be smart to do.
My dealings with eBay, when someone makes me an offer that's extremely insulting.
Like what are you saying?
If it's super, no, not you. I'm saying let's say I'm selling something on eBay for $75.
Right.
And the guy will offer me whatever, 20. I counter offer with higher than what the thing costs. and then I'll get a message from him that says, hey, your counter offer was more than it was. I'm like, okay. Because I'm just like, I'm not dealing with your insulting offer.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Can't you set it where if the offer that you get is below a certain number, it just automatically kicks it out?
But because I want to have fun, I don't do that. All right, guys. This has been great. Record Store Dave's were successful. Everybody tell us where we can find you on the internet. Let's start with Dave Schneier because he has a blog.
I do. I can be found all over the internet at Dave Schneier on every social media channel. When they invent a new one, I'm sure I'll go on that one as well for no apparent reason. The blog, I'm going to put up, we're recording this on, if I may say, April 27th. Tomorrow is my son's 18th birthday. And I am, if the post goes up, it may go up tomorrow or the next day. One of his favorite artists, if not his favorite, is David Bowie. So I asked him to name his 18 favorite David Bowie songs.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So that I'll be putting a post.
Why? Oh, because he's 18.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Yep. Dave Festini, you're gigging throughout the summer with Mother Cover.
It's true. We are in the basically the northern New Jersey. So we do some shows right across the border in New York. But if you're in northern New Jersey, we are Mother Cover at Mother Cover on Instagram, MOTHERCOVR. Come out and check us out. Other than that, it's at the Fest. There's not a lot of Dave Festinis out there. So if you search at the Festini or Dave Festini, you will find me on social networks and such. And I also, but you know, before we go, I really do want to give a thank you and a shout out to Factory Records in Dover. And even though we spent the last hour tearing apart their organization or lack thereof, the Princeton Record Exchange, because they did host the event and gave us the opportunity to meet what I believe is a living legend. So just for that, thank you to Princeton Record Exchange. And of course, the mighty Billy Squire.
And to close it out for our playout song today, I'm going to dedicate this to the guy that wouldn't shut up behind you two. This song is from Tell the Truth. And this song is Angry, because that guy made us angry. Thank you, Daves.
You got it. Thank you.
Get your master key. Open up your doors. Set your servants free. They won't come no more. Wrap my life in chains. I gave my everything. Learn to feel no pain. Now every day, wake up. Take my place in line. I begged you on my knees. Now all I got makes me angry.
How much
thank you.
How much does the set differ when you go to three as opposed to, you know, like what do you trim out? Do you trim any stuff out? Do you keep the same songs?
It's pretty much the same. I dropped Lump because, you know, there's some things that just don't translate well.
Sure.
But for the most part, it pretty much stays the same.
Okay.
And you guys don't do a Weird Al version called Trump?
No. Weird Al version.
That's good.
All right. You might want to work that up, work it into the set before he gets assassinated again.
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 Again.